Hello and welcome back to Idol Talk. In this episode, Nathan recaps the highlight of his South Korea trip, SM Town Live 2022, SMCU Express at Human City Suwon. His spur-of-the-moment decision to attend was filled with emotion, adventure, and even a few surprises. Live vicariously through us as Nathan describes a real K-pop concert experience and his feelings on witnessing history in real life.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and I am very excited for NCT 127's new album, Two Baddies, releasing on September 16th. So today is September 7th, and they released the solo photos, the concept photos for Johnny, Tail, and Hyunjun.
Oh my god, the Johnny one.
The Johnny ones are very
spicy.
Good.
Very good.
I'm using Johnny's body yet again.
I love it. He showed a lot less body than Yuta.
In sticker? Oh.
Yuta, he has a...
Oh, he's showing everything now?
He has a belly button ring, like...
I need to see the Yuta ones. I need to go look.
There are piercings. Yeah, ooh, check it out.
Spicy.
It is spicy.
Wow, NCT 127 is growing up.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Hey everyone, it's Casey, and I just wanted to give an effusive thank you, a huge gratitude to the person that takes Wonho's thirst trap photos for Instagram.
Oh lord. We've been asking who the heck takes his thirst trap photos for years, I feel.
The Lord's work. They are giving back to society. Their contributions should be immortalized in museums. Thankfully, they're immortalized online. Most recently, Wonho posted pictures of him in these like really tight gray shorts, like thigh-high shorts, and they were like super
he knows
tight.
Nothing else than thigh-high shorts.
He was wearing like a shirt. Oh. He was outside, but it's like very buns hugging and like front bulge hugging.
Oh my god.
There were front,
oh lord, there Casey.
There were front photos, there were back photos. The photographer got all of the angles, and I just want to say thank you for blessing my feed. I'm just eternally grateful for this world that we live in.
Let us know who you are.
Out with you so I can send you a gift basket.
He looks like he's wearing compression shorts, and those
that's what they are.
Oh, they are? And they're not supposed to be worn solo.
Tell that to Wonho. He's doing his own thing. He knows what the people want. Let's not get in the way of him feeding his fans.
Oh my god, this comment on his photo. Please choke me with your thighs. 184 likes. Done.
Okay, y'all.
Yeah.
This is not a pod about Wonho. At least.
Why?
You're going to have to go to the Patreon content for that.
It could be.
All right. It's good to be back. I feel like I haven't been on an episode for a while.
You really haven't.
And, well, y'all are about to find out why, because I almost didn't make it back from my SM Town Live experience, which I'll get into during this episode. So, just a preview. We're going to be recapping my concert experience at SM Town Live in Suwon, which is in Korea. I dare say that it's kind of Seoul, but not really, unfortunately. But anyways, we are going to go over the concert. We're going to do a little bit of a background first. So Ashley, did you want to let us know kind of a little bit about what the concert was kind of aimed to do, the concept that they were going for, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So the concert was titled SMCU Express. Back in December 2021, SM announced a project called SM Town 2020 U SMCU Express, which is supposed to, and I quote, allow fans to experience the metaverse through a wide variety of futuristic content. So basically that means digital and in-person events and like stuff to do. The project consists of six things. The first one was ESPA's release of Dreams Come True, which is the SES song that released in December 2021. Then they did the 2021 Winter SM Town, SMCU Express, which is a winter album released on December 27. Next, they did the SM Town Experience Play at Gwangya. So we know that Gwangya is the SM headquarters. And this was a media art exhibition on the first floor of SM's headquarters. Next was SM Town Live 2022 SMCU Express at Gwangya. So this is their digital concert, which they held on New Year's Day 2022. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, what this episode is about, SM Town Live 2022, SMCU. Also, SMCU, I don't know if I clarified this already, but it means SM Culture Universe. Mm-hmm. So, SMCU Express at Human City, Suwon. So, this is, Human City is not a real city. It's just their way of saying that it's an in-person event.
Oh, okay.
which I mean is not a given these days. It's so I not. Guess you have That's to specify true. A little bit.
It's not. So that was held at Suwon World Cup Stadium in Suwon, South Korea on August 20th, 2022. And then their last stop on the express was SM Town Live 2022 SMCU Express at Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Which is their in-person event at the Tokyo Dome that was held over 3 days, August 27, 28, and 29. I don't know why they didn't call it Human City Tokyo. But, yeah. So, that's that about the SMCU project. So, a little bit about the concert that Nathan went to. Again, it was held on August 20th. This was the first in-person SM Town Live that was held since 2019. So, it's been 3 years.
Which I believe was in the Middle East, which was cool.
Oh, interesting. Do you remember what country?
I want to say Dubai, but I'm not 100%
what?
Sure.
That's wild.
Yeah. So these things don't come every, like, they're very, not terribly frequent, I would say, because you have to get the entire company to come and practice, perform, right, and do everything.
Don't they normally do a world tour, like multiple stops? They probably do Korea, Japan, obviously, and then somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think that they had done one even in Korea for a while. Mm. Yeah, so I had originally heard about the SM Town family concerts, like, when they did it in Times Square, like, in the 2010s
or sometime. Oh my god!
Around there.
They came to America?
And they did it once in America, in New York. Where's that big venue in New York that everyone goes
Madison
to?
Madison Square Garden?
Madison Square Garden, exactly. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, this is a big deal in terms of just hosting one again, especially after the pandemic.
Holy shit, if they ever
on come... On their home ground. Yeah. On their home ground, too.
If they ever come to the United States, it's gonna be hell.
I'm there.
Wherever it is,
even
I'm going.
Even if I'm pregnant, even if I'm giving birth, I'm there.
So, about the venue, the Suwon World Cup Stadium, it was built for the World Cup. The stadium is nicknamed the Big Bird Stadium, because the roof of the stadium is shaped like two birds. Look it up on Google. There's on the left and the right side, it's literally like two arches with the outline of a bird, like looking like mm-hmm. outline of a bird. The soccer team that plays there, I think, is called the Bluebirds. Mm-hmm. So they have a whole bird theme around soccer. The capacity, the capacity is, this is for a soccer game. The capacity is 43,959 seats. So obviously, I couldn't find the capacity for a concert, but I'm sure like it's a third cut down because they have to set up the stage. But they also put seating on the floor.
The seating, I think, was around 40 to 50,000 people there. So, yeah, it was comparable.
So maybe it's
like,
more.
Yeah, you get the field is actually probably smaller than the stage. I mean, bigger than the stage.
Right.
So, okay. Anyways.
So, on the description, they stream this concert on VLive.
Beyond Live. Yeah.
And they had it in person. And in the description of the VLive, it says, "This is the festival moment that all people who have pink blood, all caps, pink blood, have been waiting for." Do you guys...
Pink blood was running.
Do you guys know what pink blood is?
Yeah.
Oh, Casey doesn't. Casey doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
So Lee Soo-man did a conference where he was talking about like NFTs and the metaverse and pink blood, whatever. So this is from his conference. He says that pink blood, they're described as the fans of SM Entertainment artists and their releases. So that's why there's that Instagram where all they share are like NCT covers and like aespa covers, because those are the people with pink blood.
Oh.
Yeah.
But why pink? Is that SM's color?
Lee Soo-man.
Yeah, that's their general color.
Yeah. It says here, Lee Soo-man revealed that the fandom name was selected to imply that there is pink blood running through the veins of its fans, the symbolic color of SM. Which I didn't know that SM had a color. Yeah,
they're pink. I mean, in general,
yeah,
it's really girls' generation, but they're pink.
It's really interesting to me how SM is handling themselves, like as an entertainment company. Obviously, we are SM stans, but now they're trying to establish a culture where they themselves are like a stan. They have their own stan culture and their own fandom.
Yeah.
It was definitely apparent amongst the other 40,000, 50,000 other people that I sat with in that stadium. It was like going to Disneyland and doing Disney products. Like, all of us were very...
Pink. Yeah, I looked at the merch that was sold, and the shirts are white with pink text or pink with white text.
So, okay, a note on the shirts. So, a lot of the encore stuff that the idols wore, I was actually hoping was going to be on sale, but there was actually no merch sold
at all.
Which I had asked some of the random people that I had met in line. I was like, "Oh, I'm trying to get there early to see if there's a merch line," and they were like, "Oh, I don't think that they're going to do merch." And I was like, "Oh, why?" It's like, they're still trying to prevent, like, overcrowding and stuff. So.
With 50,000 people?
Yeah. There was no merch sold, but they did give us, like, a poster to use during the concert, which functioned also as a fan. And it was really humid that day, so we needed that fan.
Damn! So why did they have merch on, like, why did I see merch online if they didn't
sell it? So you order it online.
Oh. Yeah, they weren't selling anything, like, at the venue.
Damn, that sucks, because that was going to be my next question. Did you get any merch?
I didn't get myself merch, so, yeah.
Okay. So, going on to the performers of the show, pretty much the entire SM family came out. It was, I'm just going to name it quickly, Kangta, BoA, TVXQ, Super Junior, Girls' Generation, Taeyeon, Hyoyeon of Girls' Generation, Ki, Minho of SHINee, Suho, Shumin, Chan, Dio, and Kai of EXO, Red Velvet, NCT, aespa, Got the Beat, Hyo, aka DJ Hyo, Raiden, Ginjo, Imlay, and JEB. Those last five are DJs.
The DJ sets.
The DJs from Scream Records. So the way that the set list is broken down on VLive, it has the names of the soloists spelled out, and then the names of the group, if everyone from the group came. Did Lucas perform?
No.
Damn!
Still grounded.
He's in the dungeon.
Damn, still? Still grounded.
Wow, anyways. It's been a long time.
But we did get... quote unquote new SM rookies that performed.
Okay, I saw that on your stories.
Okay, wait. Let's get into that later.
Okay. All
right. Okay, so this is those were the performers. The set list included a five DJ openings, like a DJ opening show with five songs, one song from each of the DJs, and then the main concert had 46 songs.
46.
Yeah, 46.
Yep.
The last thing I have for this intro is I've ranked all of the groups and how many times they performed during the show.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not obvious right away. Because when you're looking at the set list, mixed. It's like it's aespa and then Red Velvet and then NCT, like one after the other all mixed in. So you have no idea like how many... they performed, how many songs they performed on first glance. So I've ranked it by most amount of songs to least amount of songs. The top one being the NCT group.
Like the NCT world, universe,
right? NCT.
Right.
But
and I have some comments about that,
too. If you break it down by the four groups... Wavy, NCT Dream, NCT 127, and then NCTU/2022, they all got two songs each. So right. NCT as a whole got eight, but each individual group got two songs. So, whatever.
Evenly distributed.
Yeah, evenly distributed. Next in line, Tide. All of these people had five songs each. TVXQ, Super Junior, EXO, and then collab stages. One thing I want to know is when I ranked this, I put the solo stages
together
in the group. So, like, for example, Yuno performed Thank You, and I just, like, put that into TVXQ's ranking.
And just, like, a quit asterisk, like, EXO did no group songs.
Right.
It was all solos.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. There were... five collaboration songs, and we'll obviously talk about them later, but yeah, that included like the SM rookies, what you're talking about. Next, with four songs each, were Girls' Generation and Red Velvet. SHINee performed three songs, aespa, three songs, BoA, two songs, and Kangta, one song.
Yep.
So that's it.
Okay, Ashley, thank you for that overview. So I'm just going to go into it then.
Yeah.
Just jump right in wherever you want. So I'm going to start by just kind of giving my bird's eye view look of what the stadium was like. Because I was like, how is this going to be? Like, what kind of fans were going to be represented there? Right? So it was clear... that NCT at the moment, right, is the most popular SM act.
Yee.
And that's, obvious, I would say. They're the most recent, they're super active, and they're not on a hiatus. Like, they're at a high point right now, NCT, and we've been saying that for two-ish years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was very clear that a lot of NCTzens needed to be at that concert, and they were. Like, they came in droves.
That's my dream.
When the lights were died down, and this is just an approximation, I would say if everyone held a fan light stick, maybe 60 to 70% of the concert goers primarily held a neobong, like a NCT light stick. So 60 to 70% easily. Like when the lights died down, the entire stadium ultimately was green.
I fucking love that.
And I will just a side note say that my sister also said that at KCON, most people were also Dreamsons. Like most of that stadium was green too.
Thank God. So,
anyways, so most of it was green, and it was really interesting because there's so many Shizunis that were there, they can't really like collectively act because you're the majority, right? There's so many people, you can't really say like, let's have an NCT section, because ultimately the entire concert was an NCT section. So I ended up sitting in a mixed section, meaning like it was mostly NCT just by nature of distribution. But it was not necessarily an NCT section. It was like aespa fans were there. There were Red Velvet fans in there. You'd see like one little red Cassie stick, the TVXQ stick, mm-hmm. and then some blue sticks around me, right? Like some Super Junior sticks. Yeah.
I have a question. Ashley. So yes. You're referencing that all the fans of a certain group sit together.
Yes. Okay. So I'm about to go into that.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm saying is that NCT, there's so many people that there was no one section, right? But for XOLs, Sowons, which is Girls' Generation fans, and Showls, right? There were sections that fans predetermined that they were going to buy out so that they all sat together so that they would be unified together. So, I sat right adjacent to the Girls' Generation fans, and, like, they were all pink. Like, because that's Girls' Generation's color. So, whereas mine was green mixed with a lot of different other fandoms, the one next to me was basically solely for Sowons.
Oh my and god!
They come with, like, their lyrics, they come with their light sticks, they come with their passion. Adjacent to the Sowons, so two sections away from me, the Showls got together and they were like, we are buying out, lack of a better word, section C. So if you're there for Shiny, you're gonna be there in section C. That's not to say there's not random Showls in other places, but that was the predetermined space in which they would coalesce with one another.
Do you know who's organizing that? Is that just
the fan clubs? It has to be the fan clubs. It has to be the fan clubs because it's clearly, they've clearly mobilized.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be like, oh.
I'm wondering if there's,
it's not random,
an ambassador from each fandom that negotiates sections with the other fandoms.
I'm pretty sure, like, that's what happens.
That's so crazy.
Because there's just no other way.
I resent the fact that I'm not part of the Korean fangirl culture because
that is
next fucking level.
It's next level, like no pun intended for this episode. Like the Korean fans are on a whole nother level. We know that fan chants are a thing, but I literally got like, that's the thing. When NCT goes up, this is an NCT basically concert and other concert, right? Like what Ashley said, like eight songs,
NCT,
right?
NCT and Co.
At the moment, because they're the most popular. So yeah. Obviously SM knows that too, so they're going to give them their time. Because if 70% of the fans are holding neobongs, like you're going to have to please them at some point, yeah. Right? So where was I going with this? Because there's so many, you can't hear the fan chants like coming from so many different directions, right? But mm-hmm. with the Showls, with the Sowons, and with the XOLs, they're literally in one section.
Oh.
So when they come up,
I love that.
They are loud.
I love that.
They're like projected.
They are loud. They are projecting.
I have chills.
They are organized.
I want to be part
chills.
Of that world.
That was like I thought I would never experience because like Korean fans are very different from American fans. We're just like yelling and screaming. We kind of do whatever. We sing along. Oh no, the Korean, they sing along, but not really. They only do the fan chants.
So and is it like a more like, disciplined audience?
It's very disciplined and lots of fanning going on, right? But a lot more disciplined than us. Not just like screaming and yelling during like a set.
Yeah.
Like this is business. Like, they need their artists to hear their chants and to hear their cries.
I'm gonna cry.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
So I would say
that's fucking aspirational.
The fandoms with those three very unique sections were SHINee, Girls Generation, and EXO. Like, the other ones, like, yes, they're big, but, like, had less of organization. So, like, aespa kind of sprinkled in everywhere, Red Velvet sprinkled in everywhere, Super Junior sprinkled in everywhere, and then TVXQ sprinkled anywhere.
You have to consider the fact that these big three fandoms of SM are, like, including NCT, but the Shawols, the Sowons, and XOLs are, like, foundational fandoms, if you think about it.
Yeah, they are. Ultimately.
They defined what K-pop stan culture is to this day.
For a long time,
so
and
I'm
still.
Not surprised that they were a professional organization about it and
yeah, they
showed
were
up the young folk.
And I will say the two that really stood out to me, the XOLs were a little bit distant from me, but the Shawols and the Sowons really came to play. Like, they really came to play. I would say with the XOLs, they had like a lot of presence, but because they didn't do group songs, it was a little bit harder. So, for example, I saw someone, like, they brought like a Baekhyun like poster, right? I was like, he's not here. I was like, okay, you know. So they're still very passionate, but like, fan culture experience was incredible.
How did you feel like witnessing that kind of stanning in person? Were you humbled?
You know, you see it, like, at music shows, right?
Yeah.
But it's just, like, the sense of organization and care is just on a whole nother level. Like, and because this was a family concert, these Shawols and these Sowons and these XOLs were still jamming to every other song that they heard, too.
Yeah.
And this is something that I actually heard from DKDKTV, right? The thing that works about SM in Korea, right, is that, yeah, your kids might be interested in NCT and aespa, right? But your dad and your grandpa, right? Or not your grandpa. Your dad, right? Was listening to, like, Girls' Generation. Or, like, there were fans of, like, H.O.T., S.E.S., right? Like, so it's intergenerational.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what makes it kind of work, right? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what an entertainment company should be in terms of sustenance. Right?
Yes!
So, I think something that stood out about this concert is, like, again, the sustenance of this company. A lot of soloists, right? Like, SM is giving, like, a lot of solos to their senior artists. Like, basically, from the top down, from Kangta all the way down to, I think, you know, Red Velvet is getting solos now. They all were out there at least one time, right, to do their own thing. Not their group's thing, but their own thing too, right? That's how you build a personal brand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to be a singer, you want to be a rapper, right? So, lots of really great solos to see. Let's see. Okay,
Wait a second.
Okay, go ahead.
How long was this concert?
So, because Ashley mentioned it was nearly 50 songs...
Like, full songs, or were they, like, the condensed versions of songs?
No, these are not condensed versions. Okay. These are full. And, like, you forgot the ments, right? Like, people introduce themselves and they talk.
It wasn't just, like, boom, 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 boom.
No, they talk and they introduce themselves and, you know, SHINee, like, Minky, like, has a moment. They're, like, you know, talking with one another as if, you know, they're just talking to the crowd, right? And everyone gets to do that a little bit. It was set to start at 6. I believe I got to my seat at around 7, and it started at around, like, 7:15.
Okay.
Like, the actual after the DJ set.
Okay.
Which I completely missed because it took me a while to get there, and I tried to be early. But, you know, it was my second full day in Korea, and there were certainly struggles that accompanied that, which I'll get into towards the end.
I have a comment about the DJ set.
Yes, go ahead.
First tell me what time this concert ended. I just need to know how long it was.
I would say the concert started at around 7 and ended at around 10:30.
That's not bad.
So, 10:30 to 10:45. So almost 4 hours.
I have some questions. So it's a 4-hour set.
Endeavor.
How much should you pay?
Oh, so when I arrived into Korea, I had no intention of going to this concert, but it was on my radar. So I looked on the first day and there was like a number of tickets left and I was like, I'm going. I really don't care how much I need to pay. But at this point, only nosebleeds are available.
Okay.
Right? So I paid about like $65 to go to this concert.
That's not bad.
Oh,
which is
my
the cheapest
God.
I've ever paid for a ticket.
That's not
yeah,
bad.
Well,
at all.
Also, you have to consider that US dollars right now are stronger than won. So, like, our conversion rate will advantage us.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I paid pennies to go to this concert.
We For nosebleeds for BTS in 2019, we paid $78 for one group for 2 hours. You got all these groups. You witnessed history in Korea for $65.
In
That's
Korea
insane.
For $65. And I will say the transportation costs to go there and back were higher than $65.
Okay, you'll get into it. But
I will get into that. It was a steal. I was like, there's no way I'm not going. I told my friends, I was like, I won't be here Sunday night. I'll see you later.
I love that.
Peace.
Because this is something that ultimately, if the opportunity presented itself, I was going
to
go.
No, you had to.
100%.
Yeah, I had to. Yeah. So by the time I had bought my ticket, which was like a day and a half before, there were basically no tickets left the day of. So like it sold out. There was not like an empty seat left in sight. But because it was like 50,000 seats, like, that explained why there were just tickets left, I would say, for last-minute concert goers, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, you ready for some stage highlights that I thought were notable?
Yes.
So, everything, first of all. And I will highlight one more time that, like, I thought the solos were really good. Like, and they were... For everyone, I don't think, like, the most exciting thing, because you're not seeing the whole group.
Yeah.
But it was just really great to see that everyone's doing their own thing. So, I categorized the highlights for me kind of personally in terms of, like, things that I hadn't seen before. Because when I thought about it, I was like, I have seen quite a bit. Which was, like, I have seen quite a bit live. So, like, all of the aespa stages I had seen before, as an example... Right? So, and like NCT was coming to town soon. So it was like, what are some of the stages that were really highlights for me or like stages that I would never thought that I would see in my lifetime? So I will start with NCT though. 2020 Resonance.
Oi.
With everyone there. I remember when like the first note came and like all the lights died down and the fireworks started. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Resonance. Like, they're really doing it. They're really doing the damn thing. All, like, 23 of them or however many were there.
It's right? NCT Sans Lucas, right?
NCT Sans Lucas. So that was 22, maybe?
Yeah.
I was like, you're probably going to see Dream. You're probably going to see 127. You might see Wavy. You might see a U stage like we did at Super M, right? But... Like, the whole unit, basically, on one stage was very overwhelming for me. And the firework effects during that make up for the craziness of the song. So, not every song got fireworks, but they knew that one needed fireworks. And it did. And it paid off, is what I'll say about Resonance. I will say, though, that NCT, as the fandom that had the most representation... They still got a lot of work to do in the SM universe because ultimately they're still standing on the shoulders of giants. And they would say that themselves.
Yeah.
So what I will say is that while NCT got a lot of airtime, the show stealers were the veterans. Like the ones that have been in the industry for years and decades long.
Yeah.
Okay, get into it. I'm waiting.
So... Sorry, Super Junior. Like, they really know how to put on a show. And Ashley was saying that it was kind of mixed, right, in terms of the set list.
Yeah.
But Super Junior came in and they did back-to-back-to-back-to-back songs.
They did.
And the amount of respect that Korea, that the audience has for Super Junior as a foundational group is very palpable in that stadium across gender. Like, people are just, they're just having like a mini Super Junior concert in there. And it was crazy. Same thing for TVXQ, where like once Mirotic comes on, everyone is waving their light stick and everyone is singing along at the end of the day.
I'm not upset. I'm dying internally of just extreme jealousy that you saw Sorry Sorry and Mirotic. Like, that's never entered the realm of possibility for me as like a fan to see, because it's like before my time, you know?
It's before my time too, but everyone just knows the songs at the end of the day.
It's so crazy to me. Mirotic was... I can't believe you saw that live.
And like, it was really lucky. I was really lucky because Yuno got COVID after, so he didn't perform at the Tokyo show.
Oh, lucky!
So I think what was like really special about the Korea show was that I don't believe anyone sat out. And I don't quote me on that, but like after that concert, like people were getting like after that stage, like people were getting COVID. Like Sunny got COVID.
Yeah,
Yuno got COVID. Like.
Wow.
It was a thing.
Oh.
But everyone was healthy. Everyone was on the stage, like, and people were, like, there. Which is also not a given because of COVID these days and how, like, it just spreads, right? So, I would say the veteran groups, like, kicked butt.
Mm-hmm.
And they have so much experience. And a lot of this show is about history, right? The history of K-pop, like, from one generation to the other. So, like, my next highlight is just seeing, like, BoA's only one stage, because the surprise factor is that this is a legendary song, but you never know who's going to do the feature of the song. So I purposely did not look at the set list because I wanted to be surprised, like, on every, and I was surprised, like, basically every single 5 minutes. Like, I was like, oh, this is coming up.
Oh, that's amazing. Or,
like, you hear, like, I don't know, the music died down and it's like this song. And then it's the next song. You're like, oh, bop after bop after bop, right? Because this is obviously also a best of concert.
Yeah.
For right? Best of and also most recent, right? A mixture of both. So I was like, okay, Sehun has gotten this solo before. He's not here. Taemin has gotten this feature before. He's not here. Shotaro got it in the most recent iteration of this song. Like, who's going to get only one this time? And I see motherfucking Ten roll out there, and he is doing the damn thing with BoA. And I was like, just in shock, because it's not just anyone that usually gets the only one collab. Like, she probably hand chooses who she wants to choose.
Her power.
And the guy says yes, even if they don't want to.
I mean, the fact that Shotaro did it, even though he's technically very new.
They need to give him work.
They do need to give him work. But I remember I saw that performance, and that's the moment that I realized that Shotaro is worthy of my attention, because he picked up the mantle really well.
Yes. So Ten this time picked up the mantle, and I was like, that was a good choice, an appropriate choice. Okay, so speaking of veterans, so also TVXQ, like, they just killed it on the stage too, and they led, like, this sing-along that everyone was singing to because the lyrics were on the screen, and it was just, like, a happy party with everyone.
But I want to be there.
The veterans that people bawled to, and this is who the show ultimately belonged to, was Girls' Generation. So let me paint this picture.
Yes. Okay, so I'll close my eyes.
Taeyeon goes on first, right? And the Sohwans are, like, really, really palpable.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you see them, like, with their I'm gonna call them wands. Like, their wands are rising. They're doing, like, the IMVU chant, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're just getting warmed up here, but literally Taeyeon is, like, main act, right? And then Hyo comes on. She doesn't do Dessert, but she does Deep. And Deep is a really easy song to do fan chants to, because it's very simple. So they're going crazy too. And they're pretty quiet for like another 30 minutes. All of a sudden, I can't remember. I think TVXQ finishes their full set. Similar to Super Junior, they go back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
And they're done. All of a sudden, I feel like shadows next to me. What? And all of the Sowons in that section had risen to their feet.
What?
And here's where I'll say it's different from the American audience. No one's standing. Everyone's
people are seated
like,
the whole concert?
People are seated for the most part.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, they're seated, but what made it so palpable was that I felt this tension in this section next to me. And every single one of the Sowons had risen to their feet before any intro had happened. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And then, of course, all of a sudden, because they studied the set list.
Oh, okay.
So they had known that their girls were up. So then the Forever One music video, like, towards the end, starts playing. And
I cry.
It was their stage. Everyone was paying attention and in celebration mode for 15 years.
Wow, and I'm going to cry.
That was, like, one of the most special moments that I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Just like, imagine being like a Sowon for 15 years and being on a hiatus for 5 years and like seeing them for the first time after contracting, like split,
I'd
right?
Fucking
you never
throw
really
up.
Knew. Yeah, you never really knew if they were going to perform together again.
Oh my God.
That's emotional.
So they did Forever One. The Sowons studied their lyrics, they had their wands up and going. And here's what I'll say, and I said this so many times after the concert, I will never disrespect Hyoyeon ever again. Because she couldn't even get through the performance because she was bawling.
She was crying so much.
She was bawling afterwards and during the performance. And some of the other girls were like kind of tearing up too. But I guess for me, I didn't realize that Hyo had that side of her and that it meant this much to her.
Wow.
So,
damn, I'm gonna cry.
I will never disrespect Hyo ever again in my entire life, and I'll stream whatever she comes out with. But so they did Forever One, and then they did a Party, which was the whole stadium kind of was just like bopping like the whole time, which was amazing. So those were my highlights, and I'll say that again. In general, I feel like the atmosphere really belonged to the veterans after the younger groups that were more popular had their moment. So there was a lot going on there. But some of my personal favorites, obviously, rare sighting of Dio.
Yes!
Who never appears to anything because he could do whatever he wants. But I never thought I would get to hear That's Okay Live, which was really special. And it was just like, to his personality, you know, no choreo, just spotlight on him spinning around a little circle stage, not him forgetting his lyrics.
Yeah.
And making everyone fall in love with him even more because everyone's laughing. And
sweet love.
Yeah. The return of the father of two,
Appa
Chen, you know. Getting his moment back, right? Like, I'm part of this company and I'm here to stay, right? He said, which was really special. Not the entire stadium doing Joy's...
Confetti.
Joy's confetti blowing, which was really nice. And of course, seeing SHINee is always great, too. Key's comeback stage was at Suwon. Like, what makes a concert special is, like, if you're going to get little sneak previews,
yeah,
right? So we got Gasoline sneak preview, and then we got apart from SHINee, we got the SM Rookies performing too with Shotaro and Sungchan, which new unit question mark was through my head. But those are just some of my personal favorites. This concert was overwhelming, I would say. And lastly, like I have done on this pod like a deep dive into the family song that they do at the end of the concert. So you guys know how much that means to me to hear live. Like, that family song, Hope, at the end was all I needed. But coupled with that, at the end of the concert, Lee Soo-man came out and hugged every single one of them. And it just felt like, I don't know, with a lot of toxicity that happens in companies, and of course, like, they know that they're on camera, it just seemed like, and maybe this is a motivated reasoning comment, I just feel like they like to work for him, and that he's, like, an enjoyable person to be around, right?
Yeah.
So, with all the stuff that happens within entertainment companies, all the negativity that we do generally see, like, it was good to see that they're interacting with him. And that, like, ultimately he's human with his employees.
Right.
Right? Which I thought was really special to see. And I was, like, laughing the entire time when he was, like, hugging them literally one by one. All, like, dare I say, like, 100 of them.
That's special. Yeah. You wouldn't see Bang PD out there hugging from his nine, like...
Well, that's the thing, because he created all of these groups.
Right.
Like, he has a personal investment into whether it be his oldest artist or his youngest artist, because he ultimately hand-chose all of these people.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't buy a single one of these groups.
I have to give him credit where credit's due, because, well, 2 points. At Super M, when we went, he was at that concert, too.
Mm, that's true.
And they, like...
He made that travel.
Yeah, the artists had called out that he was there, and they didn't, like, I don't know, they just seemed at ease. They didn't seem like there was extra pressure that he was there. And two, what I think SM does really well is evident by this concert, that he is setting the veteran artists up as titans of industry that can come back, that are relevant throughout several generations of K-pop, who do command a demand in the industry to this day and are worthy of respect by the younger K-pop artists. Groups and artists. Yes. So it's just, it really shows you, like, a history of K-pop in one show. And I think that other entertainment companies should really take note of this attitude, because you don't have... I think it's just because I love world building. And that's what SM does. And you don't get that from a lot of the other entertainment companies.
Right. This is incredibly intertwined with one another. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't even talk about, like, the collaboration stages, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, step back, right? Even doing that, no one's contractually obligated to do this collab. Like, they want to work with each other.
Yeah.
Like, BoA wants to work with her younger folks. Karina wants to work with her Sunbinims.
Yeah.
Right? D.O. doesn't do anything on his that he doesn't want to. He still wants to come back and perform. Right? Girls' Generation wants to do this.
What I think is genius, too, is that standing one SM group is immediately a pipeline to standing the other K-pop groups because of their interactions with each other and because of how intertwined they are as an entertainment company. It's fucking genius.
It is.
Yeah. It's a genius marketing plan, even though he, like, even though other companies do it, right? It's just that SM has that history right behind them. That really makes it unique. And it felt very special to be a part of as someone that started standing K-pop from an SM group at the end of the day.
God, we are such SM. I mean, we're SM trash. Like, that's been established from the jump.
Do you have pink in your blood?
I have pink in my blood, for sure. And it made me like them even more because I was there live, obviously. But that was a 10 out of 10 concert. I would probably never experience anything like that ever again in my entire life.
Don't say that. We need to manifest us going to SM Town Live again.
Here's what I'll say, though. I would actually make a trip out there purposefully
100%.
For an SM Town concert.
Yeah, for sure.
But I went into it not...
my perspective.
I didn't plan to do this. So, like, all of this was cherry on the top for me in terms of getting to experience this during my trip to Korea.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that being said, any other thoughts or comments on any of the stages that I mentioned or any of the actual concert?
Not for me. Get into it.
So, I will just be very brief with the rest of the time that we have. In terms of concert logistics, I bought my concert ticket literally like maybe a day and a half before. They were still available, but the problem was that it was a will-called ticket that needed to be redeemed on site. So once I ended up taking the bus from Seoul to Suwon and walking to the stadium, it was already like 6:30, 6:45, and the concert was supposed to start at 6. So I was like, okay, things usually run behind, like, that's fine. And I could tell immediately that the concert hadn't started yet because everyone was still outdoors. Like, not everyone had taken their seats yet. So I can kind of try to speak Korean, but it's not my native tongue. So I see this huge snake line, and I was like, this one's it. this one's it.
Okay.
And I was right.
Okay.
So
they didn't have signage in English?
Not for, like, will-called tickets. Oh. But because I was so far away from the start of the line that maybe the signs had stopped, honestly.
Wow.
Mind you, this is a 50,000-person stadium. Like, this venue is humongous. So I'm in the snake line. I confirm that I'm in the right line by a nice lady. And I'm waiting in this line. I was like, well, the concert's not going to start because, like, there are thousands of us out here, like, trying to get from a virtual ticket to a physical ticket. All of a sudden, I'm waiting in line for, like, 20, 30 minutes. People just start running to the gate. And like I said, there's so many people in front of me that the people next to us, we have no idea what's going on. People are running to the gates because ultimately they decided that they were going to take our online tickets. So the will call was closed and everyone was moving into the stadium. This, like, hordes of people just running to their entry gate at this point.
Oh my God.
And they were like, they were checking the online tickets, but they needed to start the show. So they were kind of looking at it. Okay, you're in the right section. Go ahead. Like, it wasn't like America where, like, they have to, like, scan. Also, no security checks. Like, you could bring in whatever you want. I was like, I can't bring water. I can't bring this. I can't bring that. I could have brought, like, a feast and no one would have stopped me.
A boba.
I could have brought boba. I could have brought water. I was dehydrated after because I had no water. Like,
a professional camera with a tripod?
Well, I don't know about that. Okay. But, like, food-wise, water-wise, which is kind of, like, the two most important things.
They didn't,
like,
have metal detectors?
No metal detectors.
Why
no
would
security,
they?
No pat-downs, no nothing.
I love that.
So
really makes you think, huh?
Good part, but, like, the bad part was that, like, they could be a little bit more organized, right, with the online, with the will call ticketing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was fine. So,
I think that was foolish to even do a will call with a concert of this magnitude.
Yeah, like, it's virtual at this point. Just take the virtual.
We're
like, what's the difference? Yeah, what's the difference? So that's the only qualm that I would say.
Okay.
So getting there, people could have snuck in if they just had a screenshot.
No, because ultimately, like,
well, they wouldn't.
You would get an usher and be like, this person's in my seat.
Oh, okay, and then I get it.
You'd be like, you're in my seat, and then you would get the person. But, like, everyone's, like, pretty much honor system. Like, I wouldn't dare going into someone's seat. And usually there's only one of each ticket, so you're going to stick out like a sore thumb.
It seems like everyone is very respectful there.
Yes, everyone's very respectful, and they don't need to be wrangled with more rules because they're more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the last thing that I'll say, me too. So the last thing that I'll say is transportation getting there was basically through bus because you're going outside of Seoul, so the subways don't take you that far. So Google Maps, Naver Maps, like everything recommended that you take the bus basically from like a major subway hub. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna take the bus. Crowded bus system because everyone's trying to get on the same buses, right? So I won't go into that, but eventually I make my way over there. I meet a group of four people. We make our way over there. We all were waiting. We knew, but like gradually approached each other and we're like, hey, are you going to the SM concert? And of course, like, we're all foreigners. Too? Yeah, foreigners. Okay. So like we knew. So we make our way over there into the stadium and then we split off because we didn't intend to go together. So everyone has different seats.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that point, like there was like a couple that had come with me too, and they weren't even sitting next to each other. Right. So they had gone together, but they were sitting separately once they got there. So we split up, we exchanged like socials, and then we left. Never saw them again in my entire life. I mentally prepared that at the end of this concert, I knew that I was going to be effed coming home. Because it was going to be around 11, and I saw that most people, the Korean locals, had taken a shuttle system. Similarly, right, to how a lot of concert venues have shuttle systems, right? No one was taking the bus home, except for crazy folks that didn't prepare for this or didn't know, right? Because ultimately, you're outside of Seoul. So let's just say that the clock was ticking. Buses don't run as long as subways, and I was at the point where I basically didn't get home for three and a half hours after my expected period to get home.
Wait, so what happened? Like, how did you get home?
So I tried to call a Korean taxi once I saw that all of the concert goers were leaving the bus that I hopped onto. So I just followed the crowd at that point. But I was like, these people are trying to transfer buses and the Google Maps and stuff is telling me that I'm now not going to be home until like 4 a.m. on this bus because the buses don't run very frequently. So then I just take a risk. I try to download Kakao Taxi, realize that you need a Korean credit card in order to be a for it to work. So that doesn't work. So luckily, one friend that I had met going to there had tried to get us an Uber to go there originally. She's like, Ubers don't usually work that well, but sometimes they take you. So actually, before I even hopped on the bus, I tried to get an Uber to go home. The Uber is tied to the Korean taxi system. So sometimes they take you and sometimes they don't. I tried to get one before I even hopped on the bus and it wasn't working. So then my last ditch was just to hope that an Uber would take me home. But I think I had gotten somewhat closer to the city that there were a little bit more. So
just from taking the bus.
Just from taking the bus to wherever. Like I was literally following this crowd, hoping that they were going to Seoul, where I don't know. Because at that point it was like fight or flight. Like, because I wasn't going the route that my maps was telling me.
Yeah.
But if I didn't hop on, then I was gonna be the only concert goer left on that bus stop. So chances were more than likely it would be better off to follow the concert goers, right? Yeah. So that's what I did, and I ultimately ended up getting an Uber home, thank goodness, and I got home at like 2 a.m. But the public transportation was telling me that I wasn't going to get home until like 4 or 5 because buses stop. So those were like the morning buses when they started rerunning again, which is why I decided to ditch my public transportation thing.
That would freak me the fuck out.
You're in a safe country, so I guess
I'm in a totally safe country, so I never felt like I was unsafe, right? Mm. But it didn't help that this was only my second day there, so I didn't feel, like, comfortable enough, like, reaching out to people, and, like, 2 weeks later, I totally felt comfortable doing that. But because it was, like, my first day there, like, second full day there, like, the comfortability wasn't fully there yet,
right? You just went in the deep end.
And I just went in the deep end. But at that point, I knew how to take the buses. I knew how to take the subways. Yeah. I knew how to take the taxis. I knew everything after that. So it was.
Was this your first time in Korea? No, right?
Yeah, it was my first time in Korea.
Oh,
you're so crazy.
I'm thinking about Japan. You've been to Japan before.
I've been to Japan, yeah, but I hadn't been to Korea. Yeah, kind of similar, but...
Different.
Different.
Oh my god, Nathan.
Was it worth it? 100%, because I'd mentally prepared that this was going to be a disaster. And I was telling the hosts coming home, it was like, oh, imagine, like, a foreigner trying to get home from SoFi to... back to LA City. Yeah, it's going to be miserable. Because you didn't know. And that's okay. Think about us getting like a BTS taxi coming back from even like, where did we go for that?
The 2019 concert.
Yeah, what was the 2019?
Rose Bowl? Love Yourself.
Rose Bowl. Yeah, like we couldn't get a taxi for like 2 miles.
Yeah, we had to walk.
And we ultimately got our Uber, like someone stole our Uber the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fine. Like, it didn't feel unsafe or anything, but it was just, like, definitely a struggle, too, and mostly coming back, but would I do it again?
Fuck yeah.
With the plan, yes. I would do it again.
You know, this whole experience of yours was just a roller coaster of emotions. I laughed, I cried, and now I have a tightness in my chest of anxiety just imagining you all alone in a foreign country at night. It's 1 a.m. You're on a strange bus. You don't know where you're going.
That's what happened. I can't make this stuff up. So.
No, you're ballsy. And I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of my son, Haechan, and my husband, Taemin, who was there in spirit and not there in physical. But, you know. That was worth it. I feel like
it was worth it.
I don't blame you. I would do the same exact thing.
Here's the last thing that I will say. Like, I was overhearing people and they kept talking about Haechan and Haechan's red hair that he had that night. People were just talking about it. And that was one of the talks of the town after the concert. So that's all I needed for it to be worth it.
Yeah. Also, you saw Minky live.
And Minky. Too bad there weren't other ones, but other members. But 10 out of 10 experience. Go to a family concert if you ever have the opportunity to do it. For whatever company you're interested in.
Are there even JYP family concerts?
There used to be YG family ones.
Oh.
Like during Big Bang 21 days.
Right. And there is a HYBE family concert.
There are virtual ones.
Yeah, so, didn't they have that New Year's one with Justin Bieber? I mean,
yes.
Justin Bieber
I think so.
Is HYBE. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not really a K-pop show that I feel like would be
anyways,
heartwarming.
So, I'm still starstruck by everything that I saw, but I'm really grateful, and I'm really grateful for the experience.
I'm so glad that you had this experience because, I mean, it's one thing to watch it online and see it in clips and stuff. It's kind of desensitized, but hearing your first person experience made it feel like a real thing. And now I'm mad that I didn't get to experience this in real life.
You will.
It's now one of my bucket list items.
I really have a lot of, like, I took a lot of footage, so the next time I see you, I'll...
Yes, let me just watch the whole concert on your phone. I
know. Put it in a shared folder so we can watch
I did post some small clips on the Idol Talk Instagram.
I fucking threw up.
Casey threw up. Okay, great. But... thank you to the listeners for riding that journey with me. I hope it wasn't too boring, but thanks for tuning in. And let us know how you feel about SM Universe and what they're doing. And yeah, we'll be interested to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you to all of our listeners. We are on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast streaming platforms. If you have any feedback or content requests, send us an email, idletalkpod@gmail.com. And also search our content directory for past episodes and different types of content that we release at idletalkpod.oo.ai. And you'll also see information about us hosts there too. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you all in our next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.